Borsippa. Borsippa, of course, is Nauru's patron city. And as you look at these maps here, map number one, you'll see it take the Persian Gulf and go on up the Euphrates River, and you'll hit Eridu and then Borsippa. And Borsippa is right below Babylon. Babylon is Marduk's patron city, and Nabu being Marduk's third son. Marduk's first son is Asher or Osiris. Second son be Seth. Seth, of course, kills Osiris later in, during the Egyptian civilization. And of course, he's exiled or executed for it. I forget which, but he's gone, which leaves Marduk with only Nabu as his heir now. And maybe his only son left, I'm not sure. But you can see Borsippa is right in the middle, right in the thick of it. Okay? And of course, we're looking at Sumer, ancient Sumer, the very first civilization on Earth. And in this civilization, we have everything that we have in our cities. We have there. No movie theaters or anything like that. No electricity. But they have the schools. They have medical. They have, all of these things exist in these ancient cities, which, of course, come into being because Earthlings are gathering around the pyramids, the ziggurats, houses that these alien giant gods live in. So about every 50 miles up that river or less, you're going to run into another ziggurat. Resonance of one of them, cousin, uncle, brother, and another ziggurat and another ziggurat. These became discovered during the late 1800s and early 1900s, mid to late 1800s, and these are biblical archaeologists coming out of Europe looking to prove that the Old Testament is a historical document. And as Christians, you know, that's important to them, so they went there and they saw these, what they call tells, which are suspicious mounds. And as they start excavating, they discovered these large ziggurat residences called temples. And then way below them is the city where the earthlings are. And so what you've got is a separation by height of the gods with the earthlings separated. Basically, because we're primitive still. Who knows when you're going to pick up a gun and shoot an alien, right? I mean, if they were walking around, that is. Anyway, this is the time when the gods did walk with man. But basically, when I say that, I'm talking about the gods would walk with their mixed breed children or offspring of their cousin or their brother or their uncle. These are called Nephilim, and they're semi-divine, semi-giant, semi-faster, semi-smarter. If the alien god has a brain labeled up to a number 10, let's say, and the earthling has a 2, the Nephilim demigod would be somewhere around 7. So they're bigger, stronger, faster, smarter, and live much longer than the earthling. And so the alien gods living in these ziggurats would take these descendants of gods and they would give them positions of authority over the earthlings. And so you would have a king of Borsippa, and you would have a high priest of Borsippa. And there would always be the giants, semi-giants, semi-divine Nephilim. And so kingship began on earth in these cities through the gods' bloodline. Okay, now next is number four, which is just an aerial map. Looking at number one, you're going to get a better picture. Lots of ruins. These ruins are just, you see that number two? You're just buried. That's buried in mud. Number three, same way. I mean, it's just a tell. It tells you something might be there, but it's buried. And here comes this. I'm not sure what this is, but it looks like a trash heap. You know, ruins or something. Next is number nine. It's a black and white photo of the Borsippa, the ziggurat, which is huge. Now, that ziggurat is the residence of Nabu. Plus, it might have a motel-style residence for visitors, like his father, or anybody who's in his, any of the gods visiting him overnight. There would be, you know, other chapels, other temples. Besides this huge mound ziggurat, above that you see this thing going straight up into the air. Now, every bit of what you see there is made of mud bricks. This is just unbelievable. They're taking mud bricks about the size of your foot. And that's how they made that. Now, that mud brick, I assume, is coming out of that very fertile soil that's between the rivers where the Eden began. And that's what we're talking about, first civilization. And so, in this Eden, you're looking at one hell of a structure. So obviously these are the gods building or architect and setting the foundation stones and surveying, and maybe the earthlings workers are out in the field making the bricks. But I guarantee you, probably Ningazita designed that ziggurat. In all of them. Anyway, that's a good photo of a tell for sure that something is there. Again, we're looking at a black and white. There's obviously something there. On number 13, let's check that out. That's an old photo. And if you move your cursor to slide number one, the slideshow stops. A brief description pops up, which is fine because we're looking at the slide adjacent to that. So looking at this old black and white, you see some people down below. This may be a drawing too, I don't know. You see people down below and you see this huge ziggurat. And it looks like a chimney above it. That is actually the Tower of Babel. And you, if you know the biblical story about the Tower of Babel, what you've got in reality here in detail, better detail, is Marduk, who is always trying to claim Enlil supremacy on Earth. Enlil is the heir to the king who is back on their planet, King Anu. Enlil, not only being heir to the king, is the Earth colony commander. And he runs things out of his city-state, Nippur. And all along, you know, Marduk's figuring, boy, I got screwed, boy, I got screwed, because my daddy is Enki. It was Enlil's half-brother and older, and much wiser, and should be the heir to the king, according to Marduk. But according to the royal succession law of the Anunnaki that they live by on their planet, their planet is a one world order. So King Anu is running the whole place, and now they just colonized Earth. I have no idea what else they have, but they have this place because they were here long, hundreds of thousands of years before we were modified. Homo erectus, modified by these alien giant gods, we turn into their image and their likeness as we accept their DNA modifications over and over until Homo erectus becomes Homo sapien. It takes about 50,000 years, but in the scheme of evolution, that's a blink of the eye. And so overnight, Earthlings go from caveman to living in these cities every so many miles down the river. They've got boats floating them around. They got kings. They got workers. They got you name it. They've got the schools. They got the doctors. They got everything that you have. And that is in the basics. They don't have the modern stuff, of course. I thought they had a mailbox, you know. But as far as the ancient days, and especially the very first civilization, they're extremely well advanced. So Marduk ends up trying to claim things, and the Enlils say, forget you. So Marduk decides, looking at number 13 here, Marduk decides that he's going to go ahead and do it anyway. And he starts advancing Babylon, his city-state, into a very well-advanced wonder of the world. Hanging gardens and all that stuff. And he also builds his own launch tower. Landing and launch, which is forbidden for sure. You can't blast off without Enlil's approval, and Utu taking care of the blast off. It just won't happen, and you go to Sippar to do that. Well, here we are, way down south in Marduk's area, and not far from Marduk at all, and near, right there, near the ziggurat of Marduk's son Nabu, stands Marduk's attempt to build his own spaceport right there. And the biblical story will tell you that God comes and confuses the language and crumbles the thing, and that's it. Well, that's pretty much correct, but it's an awful short story. And what happens is, Enlil, who is the Earth colony commander, so he's the main god on Earth, so I guess you could call him God. Enlil decides that Marduk is way out of bounds, so the first thing he does is eat all these workers building all these mud bricks. He changes their language. How he does this, I have no idea. But the whole area, all of the civilization is speaking one language. And if it's written, it's written in one language. That would be the cuneiform writings, original writings on Earth. And there'd be artifacts in these towns, there'd be texts, cuneiform texts in these city-states, and very, very few, like only this one, have a launch tower, a spaceport, and very handy. So Marnik's in trouble all the time, and he's always pushing the limits. So war breaks out between Marnik and his cousin, just under Enlil, is Ninurta. Ninurta and Marnik were both born on planet Nibiru. And they both seem to think that, you know, they're right in line for kingship. And Ninurta is correct. He's of the double seed law. And Marnik's father, Enki, was born of a concubine and the king. That's one seed from the king. Where Enlil is born of the king and the king's sister wife. That's two DNA matches to the king direct, and therefore he has an heir. They call it the double seed. The double seed law of succession for the Anunnaki on planet Nibiru. Well, they come to Earth, and as humans expand in number, they have sex with them, and they have mixed breeds, and they put these mixed breeds in this king position, in the high priest's position, which is nothing but a butler to the god, living in that temple slash house residence that he stays in when he's in this area. And there's nothing to prevent him from up on top there just flying off and landing there, and he's definitely separated from the earthlings way below. Now, imagine how many mud bricks that is to build all that ziggurat and all those housing for the city and that Tower of Babel. You're talking millions of these mud bricks that I guess is coming out of the fertile plain. I don't know if that was good, but they definitely had plenty of it. Because when you add it all up, it's got to be billions and billions of these bricks. That's a lot of labor. Therefore, they need workers. Next, you're starting to see color photos of Nabu's Borsippa. Showing this huge, that's probably a wall, a ziggurat, and the Tower of Babel. Right out of the biblical text. So because of this Tower of Babel, we now speak in many tongues, which confuses still the hell out of us. The only thing I speak is English. A tidbit here and there, just a few words of others. Okay, finally, as we go on down the line, we come to artifact number 6. I'm looking for more of these, and I'm sure I have more of them, and I'll add later. But what you're looking at is a round, smooth rock about the size, little smaller than your hand. And that rock is turned into a cylinder. That cylinder is smoothed out to where it's perfectly smooth. They reverse carve this image that you're looking at slide number 6. That image was reverse carved on a stone, cylinder stone, that they had fashioned, and then rolled on a slab of clay, wet clay. And the reverse carving, the negative, is now produced in the wet clay as a positive image. And what you're looking at, and I question, who could reverse carve this scene? And that's what we're looking at. Is an ancient scene or two of a particular god. And this event is so important that it was recorded. All that time to fashion that stone and then reverse carve and roll it on clay, you've got the first printing press. And they can roll that on clay and send it to this city state and roll another one or two and say, you got a newspaper. You see what I mean? These guys are far too advanced to do this themselves. And the proof is right here on this artifact. Look at number 6, and you're seeing the Tower of Babel and Marnik blasting off. And then to the right of that is another scene, and I believe that's Marnik in battle with Enlil's descendants, which would be his son, Ninurta, and other sons and helpers of him as they battle against Marnik and his descendants. So, and with the wings that are on these things, that tells you that all three of them have the capability to get in a flying saucer and fly. Otherwise, they're pilots. We have the exact same thing here. You're not flying those airplanes unless you've earned your wings. And you're, you know, checked the safety test, and now you're officially a pilot. And you show those wings proudly right there on your uniform and your shirt. Excuse me. Sip of water there, I'm sorry. So this is interesting in about 20 different reasons. Looking at number 6, it's proof of ancient aliens. That's a fact, because there's nothing flying 3000 BC, 2000 BC. There's just nothing flying, obviously. And anything that does is going to be noticed. So you've got Earthlings noticing this blast off, and you've got other gods noticing this. And then, of course, you probably have Enlil, the Earth Colony Commander, who sees all. You know, God sees all, knows all. That's probably from satellites, and for a fact, they had satellites, communication satellites, and communication towers. So they had long-distance communication back to their plant, and they had local communication through the small towers. So satellites for long distance and the small towers around their city states for the local communications between themselves. Anyway, quite in an advanced situation without anything alien visible to the Earthling that he can get his hands on. Everything you see is not allowed to even touch by the Earthlings. Earthling cannot go up that ziggurat to see the god that lives there. Only the mixed breeds could do that, and they're going to be invited before they do. So the god summons the king. He goes up that ziggurat. The god needs something, needs his clothes pressed or washed or whatever. He's going to talk to his butler, the high priest. He wants a particular thing for lunch. He's going to talk to his butler, the high priest. And the high priest handles it. He's just simply the go-to guy for the needs of the local deity, which is a giant alien from planet Nibiru, who came down searching for the gold that they need to repair a hole in their planet that they caused as they warred against each other, trying to create, finally, after many, many years, a one world order. Well, that's been tried many, many times. The empire conquered the world, that's been tried many, many times. And I'm not so sure that a one-world order isn't exactly what President, the old man Bush, was saying when he kept saying, talking about the new world order. The new world order, he was running through the UN, and it sure sounded like the one world order. To get back to this, they have a one world order run by a king. And as earthlings multiplied and they had sex, they bring Enlil, brings the concept of kingship down to earth and appoints their semi-divine mixed spirits offsprings into these positions of authority. They got a buffer between the god and the earthlings, and that's called the Nephilim. Okay, that's quite an artifact. Now we'll go through and we just see some more color photos of the ruins here. Somehow, all that got buried. Now, how did that mud from down there get placed way up there on top of those bricks? One time that happened from the flood. I can buy it if you tell me the flood did that. Okay, but they clean these things off after the flood and reuse them for quite a while. Noah, by the way, comes out of the city-state Shurupak. And Shurupak is on the front page, and you'll see Noah artifacts. This is very strange, looking at artifacts that are right out of the Old Testament. When the archaeologist was simply trying to find the city to prove it a historical document. Here, they actually discover biblical scenes and the artifact that they're talking about. It's amazing. And you've got much more detail on the documents and the artifacts in Mesopotamia than you do in the text, the five books of Moses. Going back to that one artifact that was rolled in white clay, I mean, you don't have that in the biblical text, and there's certainly nothing talking about Marduk blasted off that Tower of Babel. It's just there to reach God in the heavens. Can't be done. God kind of laughs at the thing, gets mad, and knocks it down after confusing the language. Well, that's not quite right, but it is right. Here you're looking at the Tower of Babel made out of mud brick. A lot of it's still standing, but it's not usable. And the purpose of it wasn't to just walk on up it. They were going to blast off of it inland and have their own little travels without having to speak to Enlil about it. Anyway, these colored photos show you a lot if you're an archaeologist going, wow, we ought to uncover that mound of whatever, right? And for it to be standing right in the middle of all that flat land, it's obvious something's there. And then they start discovering one after another Ziggurat City. And by God, now they've got 100,000, 200,000 clay tablets. I don't know. It's got to be way, way up there. And I guarantee you, all of them are not translated yet. Now, some of these are just simply records on the barley crop this year or whatever, you know. It's on all kinds of topics. It's their records. Now, they're not lying in their records. It might be an exaggeration when the king's writing it. Oh, we really kicked some butt on this one. He might exaggerate a little bit, but his facts are going to be facts. Anyway, the gods are there to make sure, first they are the writers of the records, and then much later, they teach the earthling to reverse carve, which he's never any good at, and you know, to roll on clay. And then they teach the earthling how to read and write cuneiform. That takes a long time after this kingship. I mean, there's thousands of years of kings before any king could read or write. So you're looking at most of these records of the ancient style. They're written by the gods. It's probably important enough, wouldn't you think, that they wrote the record and they did it in a way it would last for thousands of years. It's not on a parchment paper. It's not on sheepskin. It's in stone, so to speak. Clay fired very, very hot turns to stone. May as well call it stone. Take a look what a mud brick building can build. That's as good as stone, if you ask me. Now, the scientists have calculated that if you take a mud brick and you stand it on its end, straight up, and you stack them, you could stack them all the way from Earth to the moon before any of those bricks would crumble. That's an amazing brick, and it's built to last thousands of years. The bricks we make are good to be 100. So there's quite a difference in the technology and the thought, putting all this together. It's way above what man's abilities are at the very beginning of man. Doesn't make any sense, does it? And especially when you're looking at artifacts of flying objects like saucers. Excuse me a second. I'm sorry about that. I really apologize. So you're looking at a phenomenal find here when they discovered Borsippa. Borsippa, that's a great place for the six-pointed star god, Nabu. Okay, now under this slideshow is a couple items out of Wikipedia and some inscriptions, but you'll see a triple star with a text. Excuse me a second. In green it says a must read, it's got a triple star. That's the Eridu Genesis. That's the beginning according to them. So it's a little different than the five books of Moses, but it has more to it. And it gives you more of a human side to all that history. The five books of Moses in Genesis, they say, Jared lived to be 400, had so-and-so who became his heir. And then he had 1,000 kids after that and died, and Jared lived 900 years. And that's it. You've got a very small paragraph, just a couple sentences, on Jared. And there went 900 years of history. Now, that's just nuts. There's a lot that happened in Jared's 900 years, and the next guy's 900 years, and Methuselah's 1,000 years, and Kenan, and the first 10 generations down to Noah, they're living around 1,000 years as king. Well, they're living around 1,000 years. And this is according to the five books of Moses. But if you read the king's list out of Mesopotamia, well, the kings before the flood are king 36,000 years. He's acting king for 36,000 years. How can that possibly be? It's a combination of two aging clocks. One from the alien clock that comes from their planet and its orbit, and one from the Earth clock and its much, much smaller orbit. Earth orbits 3,600 times when they orbit once. They age 1 year. We've gone 3,600 years. they seem to be immortal to us. So they are the gods. This is the first image and transaction or even knowledge of the meaning of the word God. It's the place where the first attempts at fashioning earthling workers failed for 50,000 years. Wasn't an easy feat. And if you'd like to learn more about that, you can go to Inky's page or then Herzog's page. They're the ones who did the work. I believe that Ningazita gave them a little help too. So you're looking at from Inky to his son Marduk in Babylon to Marduk's son Nabu and Borsippa. You're looking at many generations of these gods while they are occupying right there that section and running Earth colony from between the rivers. Biblical Eden. That's quite a story. And when you put this website and all its text, I'm not changing the text, and I can't change the artifacts either. So you're looking at authentic artifacts coming from these cities, and you're looking at authentic cuneiform writings translated by our best universities, the PhDs there. So it's kind of hard. Now, the translation might vary a little between PhD and PhD, but it ain't going to vary that much. And, you know, you may have the story written in Akkadian later down, or Egyptian, or, you know, Babylonian. It started off right here, Sumerian. And look at that map. You'll see how they populated the earth, and then we populated the earth, fashioned into their image and into their likeness. And we started doing the work, and they started taking it a little easier because they were worked out. Okay. Well, I want to thank you for coming to the site and listening to all this nonsense. If this is uncomfortable for you, please leave the website. It's really not for you. And all these things that you can see here, they've been hidden for about 2,500 years. So it's not for everybody to know. They didn't want me or any of you to know. It just so happens that some of this became available, and I happen to understand how to assemble it and present it. And that's what you're looking at. I believe it's one of a kind by far in the entire world. So there's value here. Please keep coming back so you can pick up a little more out of this god or this goddess in that town or that town. Well, again, I really thank you for your time. I hope you got perked up some kind of interest here and your return. Because if you deep think, how did that happen? You'll find your answers right here. It is shocking. Okay, that's it. Thank you very much.